let's turn to the teaching material. Page 9. Page 9, the introduction, date and author. I think you can read by yourself. And the place in the canon, you can read by yourself. The main purpose of this book, first one, genealogy. The book introduced a few of the ancestors of David, the royal lineage of the Christ, the Messiah, especially the inclusion of a non-Israelite, the Moabites, Ruth, in this line. If you read the genealogy of Jesus Christ, how many women there inside? Three, right? I did three. And Ruth is one of them. What about the other one? Other two? Huh? Rahab, right? And another one? Another one is in the Genesis, right? Huh? Tamar. Okay. Two out of three are not very good. Ruth is a Gentile non-believer too, right? But it appears in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means even Jesus was God himself, but he still tried to love the sinner. So his genealogy contained these three women. Two out of three are sinners. The second is typology, which means kinsman redeemer. Boaz is a prominent messianic type. Ruth then is a type of the church. So the Boaz union with Ruth means Jesus with the church. Theology underlying the entire book is a revelation of the character and the way of God. So from many story, we can see what kind of God we worship. From the book of Ruth, we can see the providence or provision of God. It's a sovereignty of God and the grace of God and the holiness and his invitation of salvation to all the people. After we gone through whole book, you can understand this few points. The history. The book describes a few intimate experiences of a godly family of Bethlehem during the period of the judge. Now we come to page 10. And this morning we analyze the ending of Naomi's relocation to Moab was no good. Part of the reason because the family made a decision which are not by faith, which are not according to God's will. So it's very important during the time of tribulation, it's very difficult time. The most important thing is to understand what God wants me to do. We should not do anything wrong, make a wrong decision. In the book of James, chapter 1, talk about the beginning of James, chapter 1, talk about tribulation. Let's see James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. Verse 2. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials. Verse 3. For you know that testing of your faith produce steadfastness. For, and that steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There is a difference between a believer and non-believer in terms of facing the tribulation, difficulties. For a non-believer, when they face the difficult situation, usually they blame on all good bad luck, or blame on what? Something like this, bad fortune, something like that. So to them, something bad is really bad, because they cannot interpret the suffering they encounter. And as for us to be a Christian, when you encounter some difficulty or very difficult situation, there is one plus to be a Christian is you can interpret the situation, which means you can find the meaning. What will this mean to you? You can find the meaning about the difficulty you encounter, and that makes the difference. Because if you encounter difficulty, you didn't learn anything, and then that kind of suffering is just futile. You suffer for nothing. But during the time of suffering, we can learn something out of it. And something we learn out of it maybe is a very precious lesson which can make your life become better. So here she said, let us, that steadfast have full effect. You can be perfect and complete. So tribulation eventually will make us become perfect and complete and lacking nothing. That is the purpose of tribulation. And how can we interpret the difficulty we encounter and find the meaning out of it? Sometimes it's very difficult. So verse 5 is talking about, in any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who give to all men generously and without reproaching, and it will be given to him. So verse 2 talk about tribulation, trial, and verse 4 talking about ask for wisdom. How come the book of James connect these two together? You need to have wisdom to understand the difficult situation we are facing, and we learn something out of it so that we can be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. So it's obvious during the time of famine, Naomi, along with her husband, did not totally understand what God wants them to learn. So they only want to solve the problem. They never try to understand what God wants them to learn. So 1b, perseverance and repentance are the merit required in the time of tribulation. The Bible told us the trial we face in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the same thing. The trial we face is going to be over. When we reach it to a point, we cannot bear it anymore. Because the Father will never give you a difficult time far beyond what you can manage, far beyond you can endure. So we need to have a wisdom to understand why. We need to have the faith to face our difficult time. And then when they move into Moab, the land of Moab, they make a second mistake. Make a decision which is, it turned out to be the mistake. What does that mean? Point 3. Mahlon and Chilion took Moabite wife, which means they married the Gentile, and that was strictly forbidden in the Mosaic law. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 1 to 11, you shall not make marriage with them, for they will turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. The reason we should not marry with the people who is not in the same faith. The main reason, the main concern is it will affect our spiritual pursuit. It will affect our faith. And that exactly is the main reason that God did not want them to marry the Gentile. Solomon has a lot of concubines, right? And you see Solomon eventually will worship the idol. I pray and I hope every one of here, one day when you get married, we hope that all your spouse will be in the same faith. And this is very important. Not only will help us in our spiritual journey, it will greatly affect the faith of our next generation. Definitely it is going to affect it. They married the two girl not in the same faith. So their marriage was not blessed by God. So eventually it turned out three widows in the family. B. Abraham determined to find a wife for Isaac along with his kindred. Abraham was a person who had great faith. He's the father of faith, right? When his son was ready to get married, he sent his older servant to his hometown to find a bride from his kindred for his son. So this teaches us it's very important. Marriage is a very essential decision. Naomi made a wrong decision. The family life was not blessed by God. You can see so painful. It is. And then from the suffering, they returned to Bethlehem. So for Naomi had heard the Lord had visited the people and given them the food, which means God's provision and God's blessing start to come on Bethlehem. So God loves his people. The trial only a short moment, but God's love is forever. And then Naomi heard about this good news, and she decided to move back to her hometown. Now we come back to the Bible, the book of Ruth. Right now we try to study the relationship between Naomi and Ruth. Sometimes this is the most difficult relationship in nowadays, in contemporary term, and this is the most difficult part. So we should learn something out of it. Before we go into that, let me draw a diagram. Maybe some of you already know the answer, but a lot of you are still new. I'll try to ask you a question. Suppose one day you get married, you try to take a walk with your spouse in the park, right? Yeah, some of you already know the answer, right? Which way are you going to take a walk in the park? I give you a choice. The first way is you have 2 feet here. The second way is you have 2 feet here, right? The third way. Let me make a survey, You are going to hold hand, alright? Which way are you going to hold hand? You hold hand with your spouse and walk in the center and 2 kids on the other side, right? Each side 1 kid. Or you are going to protect your children, hold hand with the children, let the children walk in between. Or that 1 children in the middle and the 1 children in the side. Right? Okay. Let me make a survey, 1, 2, 3. Which way are you going to do in the future? I'm not going to. I'm not encouraging you to do it right now. just the future. Those who agree with first one, raise your hand. Most of you. How about those who are the second one? Okay. Those who are third one. Okay. minority, a third one. What is going to happen? What is going to happen? You will add it up a roof. You add up a roof. Right? Which means your family died. Right? Your family died. There are three types of family died. Okay? There are three types of family died. Add a roof, live together. Because these three ways of taking a walk in the park, it reflect the mentality in your heart. Right? The first type is the husband and wife as a center. Okay? A nuclear of the family life, the core of family life. The second part is the children are the core of the family life, right? And the third part is half-half, 50-50, right? What's the difference? Yes, there are something different. There are something different. When your kids grown up, start to move out, then you can see the difference. You can see the difference, right? When your kids move out, if your family life is centered on the kids move out, then what? There's a gap between husband and wife. That's the crisis of marriage. Right? But if you use the husband and wife as the center of family life, your kids move out, it's not too good, but still bearable. Right? Your marriage will not be affected. Why do I say this? Because it has something to do with the book of Ruth. The center of the family life should be the married couple. So if the married couple have a good relationship, to the young generation, they can teach them to walk in the right way. If the husband and wife don't have a good relationship, okay, not close to each other, there's a gap, you can understand the way they teach the children sometimes different, right? The wife say, let's go for shopping. The husband say, let's study, Bible study at home. Who are you going to follow? Right? So their discipline of the children will be in different direction. Not only to the younger generation, to the senior generation, the parent will be the same. If the husband and wife has a gap, and this gap relies on the kids to fill in the gap, the relation are not very strong because it relies on the kid to fill in the gap. Once you have indoor problem, right? Your so-called indoor add up into your family life, you will break your marriage. You know? Really? Some marriage break up, not because the kids' problem, but because of indoor problem. How come indoor problem break the marriage? Because they are not close enough. So a good family life should start from the married couple. Otherwise, who will be most painful one? When we have a mother-in-law and your wife problem, who will be the most painful one? It is the son who is most painful one, right? Whom are you going to listen? Listen your father, mother, or listen your wife? All right? You even if you sleep on the bed, you're roaring around, you don't know which side are you going to take, right? So a good marriage is very important. If you have good marriage, you can handle the indoor problem quite well. Okay. Now let's turn to book of Ruth to see how could it be that Naomi and Ruth has so wonderful relationship. Okay. Between Ruth and Naomi, Before we go into the detail, we have to study some principle. We put the principle first, and then we study, and then we study the reality second. Because we have to use the principle to guide the reality, not the other way around. If you hold on your principle, then sometimes you know how to deal with the reality. If you don't hold on the principle, sometimes you will get confused in when you face the reality. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. You shall rise up before holy NIV, how to change it? Aged head, and honor the face of an older man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You see, the Bible connect fear your God together with honor the elderly person, those who had the white hair, right? You have to show your respect to them. This is a principle. So sometimes the family life, your inner problem, right? The problem indoor, but this principle should not be forgotten. The principle, respect them, because fear of God, because God will bring everyone into judgment, and will reward who obey his commandment. You say raise up before the hoary head. One day I talked with a young kids in United States, because when I was young, I was told that if you did talk with the elderly people, if they stood up, right? And I talked with a young man. He said, "No, in United States culture is no. We just sit here. The old people stood up. It's no problem." Well, I think this United States culture. I don't know the culture too much. And then one day I watched the TV. Right, every year in the beginning of the year, the president is going to give an address, right, to the Congress. And both the House and the Senate were gathered together, right? And when the president come into the building, what happened? What happened? You don't know. You don't know what happened. Everybody stand up, right? Of course, in some incidents, some people purposely sit down because they are not satisfied with the president, right? Otherwise, they stood up. And stood up is a way to represent your respect. And then when I see this in front of the TV, I thought, hey, in United States, they still use the stand up as a way to show the honor, the president, the head of the country, right? So honor the older people. There are some way we have to express our respect to them. So this is the first principle. So when there is a difference between the indoors and mother-in-law and the indoors, this should be the important guiding principle. You have to honor them, even though you don't have it. You have a different opinion. Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Luke chapter 2, verse 51. And he went down with them and come to Nazareth, was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. Okay. When the mother, when Jesus say, "Do you know that I must be in my father's house?" 49. and they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them. Which, in other words, the younger generation, Jesus Christ, say something, the senior generation, the parents cannot understand. Right? And in contemporary terminology, there's a gap. Right? And we always will complain, oh, my parents don't understand me. Whatever I say is right, my parents don't understand me. So since my parents don't understand me, let me just go my own way. But you see, what did Jesus say? So what did Jesus do? He was obedient to them, and his mother kept all these things in her heart. So in certain sense, the obedience to the parents is necessary. So the relationship between Naomi and Ruth, I think if we go deeper into the whole story, later on we are going to study, we find out you need education on both sides. So Bible always had a very balanced teaching. Yes, we have to respect them, but in certain sense, the senior generation has to be taught too. But also our younger generation have been taught too. And both are moved and make some effort, and the relation can be improved. You see, Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this precedes the law. So the parents try to quote this verse. Children, how the Bible say? Read it out loud. Obey your parents in everything, for this is precedes the law. Right? Have you seen it? Yes. And the parents say, yes, continue to read it. The children say, continue to read it. Father, do not provoke your children. Read aloud. Do not provoke your children. Read aloud. They become discouraged. So why put that together? Because sometimes there's a problem between two generations. I think both sides need some kind of improvement to make the relation can become perfect. So let's come back to the book of Ruth to see how come these two persons, the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, can walk together in perfect harmony. Okay. Let's come back to Ruth, the book of Ruth. We always overheard, not in our church, I'm not saying in our church, your friend or in certain country, in some kind of culture. If they want to get married, they always set some precondition. Right? Of course, in the United States, nowadays the precondition is to sign a contract. If divorce happens, mine is mine, is you. So you sign the contract before we get married. You look into a lot of famous people, they sign contract before they get married. But there are some culture, they actually set some precondition. I can marry you, but only one condition. I don't want to live with in-law. If you agree, we marry. If you don't agree, we break up. This really happened. It really happened. If this one is a non-believer, we can understand. But according to the teaching of the Bible, this is not acceptable in the eyes of God. God's will is not set any precondition. If the both party, they agree to make some arrangement so that they can to respect each other, love each other, that's good. But when the parents reach to an age, they cannot take care of themselves, we have no choice but to take care of parents. You cannot set precondition to exclude our parents regardless what our parents' condition is, regardless how old they are. So this usually this is the most difficult part. When a person get married in the month of honeymoon, you enjoy the moment. But after you come back, you start to face the reality. That is a challenge to the faith and the relationship. Now, Ruth chapter 1. Verse 8. Start from verse 7. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Now, verse 8, Naomi initiated the conversation. So Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, and you be dealt with the dead and with me." Verse 9, "The Lord grant that you may find a home, each of you, in the house of your husband." So you see, from the conversation, you can understand in the heart of Naomi, she suffered three times. The first time her husband died, the second time her first son died, the third time her second son died. So you can understand the pain in her heart. However, when she faced the future of the two daughter-in-law, from the word she spoke, you know, she did not put her own well-being ahead of the well-being of the daughter-in-law. So it's a goal for your own future. You just go back to your homeland, you establish your own family. So you from the part of Naomi, we understand that she is very considerate and consider the benefit of her daughter-in-law more than herself. If she was a very selfish person, she would like say, don't go, follow me. But she did not say so. And the first time, Naomi tell them so, and two of them still want to follow her. So the second time, Naomi say the same thing. Verse 11. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet a son in my womb that they may become your husband? Turn back, my daughter." So you see, Naomi was very considerate. This is unusual. So if you see strained relation between in-laws, always from their conversation, they always complain each other. But if one party start to be considerate, and usually the relationship will improve a lot. We can learn put other people well-being ahead of us. Okay. And then after the second time, Naomi discouraged them from following her. What happened? Verse 14. Then they dip up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cling to her. You see, the first time, both of them make decision, I want to follow you, right? After second time, one of them left Naomi, and the other one continued to follow Naomi. That kind of decision too. But this decision affect the future of these two daughter-in-law. One, called Orpha, right? He kissed her goodbye. Why? Because Naomi persuade her, yes, for my own future, Even though I love you, but for my own future, I have to leave you to build my own future. But if you look into the end, what happened? Orpha disappeared from the Bible. Originally, she was a Gentile. And because of the mercy of God, she married the son of Naomi. So she came to worship the same God. Right now, because of her personal future, personal need, she make a decision to fulfill personal need. She already make a decision to forsake God, and she disappeared from the kingdom of God. So this is the first decision. And the second decision is by Ruth. She was determined to cling to Naomi. And that decision has forever effect, everlasting effect. Why? Because Naomi was the one who worshipped the true God. Now she decided to follow Naomi. In other words, she decided to be close to this eternal God. And then eventually, she became the great-grandfather or a mother of the King David. And she was in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So only a very small difference in her mind, she already decided her future. So decision really is very important. Do you recall that the older servant tried to search a wife for Isaac, right? And he prayed in the well, right? Right now, if that lady come and I ask for water, not only she give the water to me, but she will initiate, say, let me give the water to your camel, that will be. How come the older servant pray in this way? Because camel can drink 20, 30 gallon of water. In that time, the well is very deep, because in the desert. So for a young lady to draw a bucket of water, it's not motorized, you know. It put a lot of effort. Then draw back and the camel drink up. And another time drink up. And third time drink up. She must perspire the whole body, right? But when Rebecca tried to make the decision, I not only want to drink you, I will give your camel to have water drink. She make that small decision. She already decide her own fate to become the wife of Isaac. So sometimes out of a good intention or loving God, loving people, right, you make a very small decision, you already decide your own future. Just like Ruth did. So try to go one extra mile, right? One extra mile. Somebody ask you help, let me help you. But even you don't ask my help, I still help you too. A small portion of the extra mile will bring you a lot of difference in your life. We have to try. Okay. And then, let's see our Naomi attitude we already mentioned, right? And how about Ruth's attitude? Chapter 1, verse 15. Verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. 17, where you die, I will die. And where will I be buried? May the Lord do so to me. And more also, if even death part me from you. When Ruth talk so much, which sentence is most important? Try. 15 to 17, so many sentences, right? Which sentence do you consider the most important? The most important is, your God is my God. This will make tremendous difference. So regardless what kind of decision we make, if you let God get involved, you make some decision out of the reason of God, that decision is meaningful in the eyes of God. If you make a decision without letting God get involved, a lot of often you will prove that decision is in vanity. Now let's turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. Chapter 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 21. Okay. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless mind were darkened. Verse 22, claim to be wise, they become fool, and exchange the glory of immortal. Oh, no, to 22 will be good enough. There is God, but they don't honor God. So they're thinking there is no God. No, they know there is God, but they try to exclude God from their mind. And once they exclude God from their mind, whatever they think, whatever they plan become futile, become meaningless. So Ruth make an important decision. Your God is my God, and make her life so much difference. So Ruth was very considerate about Naomi, the daughter-in-law, very considerate about the mother-in-law. So both consider to each other, think about each other's well-being, and these both two people can walk together. And that exactly what the Bible tried to teach us. Let us see 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 33. Chapter 10, verse 33, right? Just as I try to please all men in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Paul say, we do seek on, not on our own advantage, but also the other people's advantage. In other verse, a lot of verse talking about, we not only think about ourselves, we have to think about others. So Naomi and Ruth can walk together. Very important is their attitude. Put other people's benefit, well-being before they themselves, and they can walk together. So nowadays, think about, because sooner or later you're going to face this reality. When the Bible say what is marriage, right? They should leave their parents and cling with their wife, and two shall be one. Leave their parents. What does that mean? That means they should be independent. So leave the parents doesn't mean from now on you cut off your relationship with the parents, because the Bible says so. We have to leave the parents. Should be independent. And this is a double meaning. The meaning can be interpreted in a double way. For the parents' side, maybe one day you will become parent, right? Or you can help some parents. For the parents' side, once they get married, according to the Bible, they have to leave the parents, let them be independent, which means let them make on their decision for their own family. Yes, the parents have some sense of lost. I raised up a son so old, or my daughter so old, right? And once get married, my son or my daughter don't want to listen to me anymore. So a lot of parents can accept this and try to remote control. when we see a married couple has a problem, usually you give them good counseling, 99% they can reconcile with each other. What we fear the most is both sides of the parent have a remote control. The husband side teach the husband how to deal with your wife. The wife side, the family teach the wife how to deal with husband. So just like a puppet, right? To side to control them. Eventually, they are going to break up. So we have to remember, once the children get married, they have to be independent. Encourage them to follow the teaching of the Bible to make their own decision, to please God. So you have some sense of lost, but it's good. It's good. Okay. And so this is from the parents' side. We have to let the children to be independent. And from the children's side, once you get married means you should be independent. So what does that mean? If you have children, don't think, my parents are going to retire 3 years later. So I get married now, I am going to have family planning. After 3 years, I give birth my first son. So when my parents retire, it's just in time to take care of my son. Right. It sounds very logic, but it's not according to the Bible. Because you get married, you are independent already. Leave your parents. Your parents are to give the best part to you to raise you up. So when you decide to have children, you have to take care of the children by yourself. So if your parents want to help you, to take care of your children, well, that's thank God. But if your parents don't want to help you to take care of your children, you have no way to complain. No way. Because the Bible says you have to leave your parents. Should be independent. So if this can some kind of basic fact you can understand, usually you will handle that kind of in-law relationship quite well. But if this fundamental principle we cannot understand it, you are going to see the family life just mix up. So it's very important. So some of the children, they try to decide whether I want to fulfill my filial duty or not. All depends on how my parents treat my son, right? If my parents help me to take care of my children, I'm going to do good to my parents. If they don't do it, I'm not going to do anything. That's not the teaching of the Bible. Okay. So chapter 1, we talk about Naomi and Ruth. I know this is a very difficult situation. So if the in-laws cannot live very peaceful together, especially when they are healthy, your parents are healthy, live close to each other but don't live together even better. Well, and then you will ask, what is the Bible verses to support your claim, right? When Abraham was a friend of God, right? When Abraham was not getting along with Lot very well, what did Abraham say? Let us separate. So live together, maybe live in the same street and next to each other, but don't live in the same house. You will feel more close than living in the same house and fighting each other every day. So there are some principles we can apply it, because sooner or later you are going to face this situation. Okay. This evening and tomorrow we have two more sections. Now we are going into chapter 2. Now we are going to talk about Boaz how Ruth married Boaz. From here we can learn some spiritual teaching. The one who loves God should be the one who receives blessing from God.